Okay, this is April 14th, About My Father's Business.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, it's so nice to see gods and goddesses collected in one room. I hope that that is sinking into you. You all have heard the expression, you're made in the image and likeness of God. When we use the image and likeness of God, that means inwardly. Not that anyone looks like God, because God doesn't have a face. But if we remember that we're made in the image and likeness of God inwardly, and you start to realize how creative you are, you start to realize what you can do with that. You see, when we had in the 70s, the human potential movement, they told you everything was inside of you to draw it out. Now, let's move up and know that we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we have God potential in us. So let's bring that God potential to the forefront of our lives and start using that instead of waiting another minute, another day, another week, year, and so forth. We keep thinking that we need more added to us, that we need to have more information, we need all this, that, and the other thing. We do not need that. You have to sit down, make up your mind that you are one with this thing called God, that you are creative, and that you can do these things. That's all there is to it. But we allow our mind, and of course we allow the world, to nibble away at us all the time so that we don't think that we have those powers, that we don't have those qualities within us. We do have those qualities within us. So when the world tries to take it away from you, or your own mind tries to take it away from you, you have to stop it. And you have to say, this is absolutely true. I'm made in the image and likeness of God inwardly. Therefore, I have all the qualities of God. All the qualities of God. So you can create, you can do all the things that you want to do. And you've heard that all your life, haven't you? That you're made in the image and likeness of God. We go on about our business and we don't believe it. But it's inward. I can understand that people would, when you say image and likeness of God, that people would think, oh, well, God doesn't look like me, you know, and all that. That I can understand. But when you know now that it's the inward stuff that we're talking about, the qualities of God, the only way you're ever going to prove that God exists and that you can do something with God is to bring those qualities through you. The God-like qualities that you have to come through you so that eventually we all realize that we're gods or goddesses, whatever. That you can do these things, that it's all right to come and talk and read and do all this stuff. But it has to be a practical. This is a practical teaching, and we have to be able to use it. So, this month we're talking about my father's business. And I'm going to tell one story anyway about being about your father's business and so forth, which means you have to be God yourself on earth. You have to bring that here. We have to raise our consciousness up to a God-like quality. We have to do that. And why I'm talking about that, we were talking at dinner tonight about Passover and so forth. And we know that the blood was on the door and spear of the death went over the houses and so forth. But I had completely forgotten until I saw it on the sign on the school up here. It was the whole idea of freeing the Jews from slavery. That was the importance of Passover. Remember, all the plagues came and so forth to change the Pharaoh's mind. And the last plague was the death of the firstborn. And if you did that, So that was what, after that, Pharaoh then finally said, oh, well, I guess I'll let, you know, those people go. And Moses kept saying, let my people go. So that's the significance of Passover. Now, along with Passover, you know, today we started Holy Week. Today is the first day in Holy Week, and will continue till Sunday with the resurrection. This is a perfect time, I think we talked about it last week, for you to bring into your mind, your consciousness, what you want. This is the time for prayer. This is the why. I'm going to tell you why it's a good time to pray. Because Ray's mind will change this week. Everyone will get enthusiastic. With Passover, they'll get enthusiastic about Holy Week. You see, till it accumulates to Good Friday and then the resurrection. So, this is the time to set into your mind and put out there into the universe what you want, because the world chatter will change this week. Do you remember how many times I told you, you can, when you wake up, you can tell if it's Sunday? Because the energy is completely different on a Sunday. The energy will be completely different this week. So if you want to manifest something, manifest it this week. You'll have a much better chance, because there will not be all the static going on. It stops. I often talk about Charles Fillmore. Charles Fillmore was a co-founder of Unity. He and his wife, Myrtle. He always prayed early in the morning or late at night when Ray's mind shut itself down. You see, so don't try to do this stuff when Ray's mind is battering you. Do it early in the morning. Do it late at night when Ray's mind quiets itself. So the significance of Holy Week is that Ray's mind is going to quiet itself down. So you have the whole week to concentrate on what you want without all that confusion, all that static, and all that energy that's going on with Ray's mind or the world itself. Because you'll find, as the week progresses, more peace will come to the earth. More peace will be around. So use these things. They're here for us to use. This is a perfect time to do something. You don't have to believe in Christianity. You don't have to believe in any religion whatsoever. What you have to believe in is in your own mind. And here's a chance to use your mind, because now the universe, or what we call the universal mind, or the mind of God, you have a much better chance for the mind to hear because of this week. You see? So use these things. All these religions and so forth, all these different seasons and so forth, have value. They have absolute value. We have turned them into all kinds of things, like the Easter Bunny and all kinds of things like that. But they have value. They have value. And the value of Holy Week is that Ray's mind will start to settle down, and peace. More so, in fact, than at Christmas time. Because you have the whole week of, and you can want that. And you can start to feel that. And that the Ray's mind is going to change. You see? So take advantage of those things. Take advantage of this week. And you don't have to be, you know, religious or anything. We're talking always mind here. And I'm trying to give you techniques and stuff to be able to use your mind and to be able to influence the universe itself. Because as we raise up in consciousness, we start to change everything. And we have to raise up in consciousness. So now back to the idea to be about your Father's business. I'll tell you a cute story. Or maybe not so cute. I don't know what. I have two friends. I have many friends, but I have these particular two friends, and they have been friends since before first grade. They are no longer talking to each other. So I called the one. Her name is Cookie. Not to find out and get involved with anything, just to say, I haven't heard from you and this, that, and the other thing. And then she said, she told the story, do you know I'm not talking to Patsy? And I said, well, I heard that. And Patsy has one version why they're not talking, and of course Cookie has the other version why they're not talking. If you're about your father's business, you have to forgive immediately. And these two people are not able to forgive. Cookie said, I will never talk to her again. She insulted me because Cookie has lupus and a lot of other little things, and they were talking about the pills, I guess, or whatever. And Patsy said to her, don't you think you take too many pills? I only take one pill. And this, of course, offended. Now they're both offended. Neither one of them are talking. After all, this is what I mean about your father's business. You have to start to see things differently. You have to let those things go. You can't take that type of thing personally. You see? To wreck a relationship because of pills and stuff, and not understand, that is not what being about your father's business is about. Being about your father's business is rising up in consciousness, seeing both sides, and loving everything that you see. Loving everything that you see. You have to raise your consciousness up, and we have to start to do this if we want to change ourselves, and if we want to change this world, and if we want to save this world. We have to start seeing things differently. Otherwise, we just keep repeating the same thing. Doesn't matter how much education you have. Cookie was a research nurse, so she has intelligence, but she will not forgive. Patsy is intelligent, but she will not forgive. You see, we bring most of the things to ourselves. All this confusion and so forth, we bring. When you're about your father's business, you learn to look at things differently. You learn to have, I said last week, you learn to have compassion. And you learn to forgive. And you learn to forgive quickly. Quickly. You see? It's just making up your mind to forgive and say, well, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I use that all the time. I especially use it when I'm driving. When people cut me off or anything, I just say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I ride with a friend of mine every once in a while. Spiritual. Very spiritual person, he tells me. He studies shamanism. He says he heals. He does everything. Get in the car with him. And it's one, oh, look at that, what's that idiot driving? I mean, it's just not a pleasant thing. He does not know that. I don't say anything to him either. I just sit there and notice and observe. You know? He has to figure that out for himself. But you have to raise up in consciousness. You have to be about your father's business. And your father's business is always to forgive. It's always to have compassion for the world itself. If this thing we call God didn't have compassion and forgiveness, do you think this world would have lasted all this time? Absolutely not. You see? But it lasts because we have a loving, a caring, and a compassionate God. And that's what we want to be able to do. We have those qualities within us. The world teaches us that we must hold these grudges and these slights and all this stuff. But you see what it brings into your life? They're willing to give up a relationship. Oh my. They knew each other when they were children, before first grade. They're in their 70s, people. They're in their 70s. Why would you want to give up something like that? You see? So you have to raise up in consciousness. You have to say, I'm about my father's business. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. In all our lives, we have to do that. We have to start seeing life differently. And we have to be able to forgive instantly. Nothing out there means anything, people. You see, we think that we are evolving, and we certainly are evolving. And we're involved with this thing called evolution. And I see signs around, this is going to be the next greatest, biggest thing. Wait till this comes out and hits the market. You know, it's going to be. But we never change this thinking. And we have to change our thinking. Seeing yourself as God, knowing that you're about your father's business, should be the greatest thing to come. Not the next app on your telephone. That's all well and good. Surely have them all. Use all those things. But you have to be able to raise your mind up. You have to be able to raise your consciousness up so that you see life the way you want it to be. You see, we say that heaven is right here on earth. How many people can see heaven here on earth? You cannot see heaven here on earth if you cannot forgive. It's an impossibility. Then you're not about your father's business at all. You're about the world's business. You see, you have to be in this world, but not of this world. You have to be able to think differently. And we have all the technology. We're gaining more and more technology. We're getting smarter and smarter all the time. But we're still immature emotionally. We have the same emotions, and we're using the same emotions that cavemen used. You know, hit them over the head with a stick or something. It's the first thing we think about. We haven't evolved. We have to evolve. You cannot, excuse me, listen to me say gods and goddesses and then want to hit somebody over the head with a stick. You know? And it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, how much education you have, if you cannot change your mind and your emotions, we're living the same life as a cave person. We just have more comforts, that's all. We just have more comforts, you see. But we have to develop the mind differently. We have to develop the emotions so that we are in control of our emotions. But we allow our emotions to control us, you see. So when you allow your emotions to control you, you're certainly not about your father's business. You see? You're about the world's business. You're about other people's business. You see? And we're never taught those things, people. We are never taught those things. We are taught what? It's all right because you're just human. It's all right because you're just human. That may be an absolute fact that you're human, but the truth is that you're gods and you're goddesses. The truth is that you're made in the image and likeness of God inwardly, and you have to bring those qualities to the forefront of your life and live those qualities. We have all this stuff going on in the world. People want goals. They want all the money. They want nothing wrong with any of that. But you're not growing emotionally. You're not growing emotionally. You have to grow up. We all have to grow up emotionally. We grow up emotionally. We grow up spiritually. Spirit has no emotion. Spirit has no emotion. Spirit just does. Spirit just is. We think we have to add something to it. We don't have to add anything to it. We have to start being able to control our thinking. Being able to control our thinking. That's what this whole teaching is about. You can read Science of Mind from cover to cover. And what Ernest Holmes is trying to tell you is, you must control your thinking. He says in Science of Mind, and I often say this, and I think it's on page 181. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong on that one, but it's the whole idea that you must learn to think the thought that you want to think. And you must learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. And you see, we don't allow ourselves to do that, do we? We get caught up in things. We get absorbed in things. We get absorbed in the world. And we think, oh, look what's going on in this world. This world's always been going on like that. Always been going on like that. You know, they have letters from ancient Rome stating the about teenagers and so forth. That they're a mess, they do this, they do that, blah, 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 blah. It reads exactly like today. It reads exactly like today. Hasn't changed. You see? We have to change these ideas. We have to be about our Father's business. We have to change it if it's going to change. And we can all do that because we're always adding or depositing into mind what we're thinking. You see, that's why I tell you race mind can slow down during this week. From all the, I'm not going to use the word garbage, that people have put into it. Most of this stuff is absolute nonsense and absolute garbage. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. So learn to be about your Father's business and say to yourself, how would God act here? How would God do this? What would happen here? What would happen there if I could do that? Do you remember in the human potential movement it said, act as if, or pretend it's so and it will be so. Start pretending. If you can't do it any other way, pretend that you're God and say, oh, how would God do this? How would God act here? And then do that instead of saying, oh, I'm human and I have this and I have a history. You see, it's your history. It's always going to get you into trouble. You have to forget your history. There's no such thing as history, people. We look back and we say, oh, this, that, and the other thing. Well, I'm talking about the history that you have in your mind. This always happened this way, so therefore it's always going to happen this way. I've always thought this way, so therefore I have to think this way. Remember, we're moving in to this season, this holy season. It started today. It will end on Sunday, and it's all about resurrection. And if this man, Jesus, thought that he had to repeat the history, he would have never been able to accomplish what he accomplished. You must get rid of your history. It does not serve you. You remember this saying, God makes all things new. God makes all things new. And you are made new by the renewal of your thinking, by the renewal of your mind. So you have to let those things go. You have to let those things go. Otherwise, they will start to control you. They will start to control you. Because your memories of the past influence what you're doing. And the past is the past, people. It should not have any influence on you whatsoever. No influence on you. We all had a past, so what? We all did mean things. Mean things happened to us. Do we want to carry any of that with us the rest of the time? I don't think so. So whatever happened to the two people, Cookie and Patsy, that's a history that they've had somewhere along the line. And I'll tell you my theory on that. They come from a very small town next to the small town that I came from. And what they are doing is are repeating what they heard from their mothers. They are repeating what they heard from their mothers. Don't take that from that person. She shouldn't have done that to you. This should be this way. That should be that way. That's all that memory coming up. All that memory. And you lose a friend over it. A friend over what? What kind of pill you take? I mean, really? That's absolutely insignificant. Insignificant. It means nothing. So you have to watch what your mind is telling you. You have to watch it constantly. And you have to get rid of the old thoughts. You see, people want to manifest something. Well, you can't manifest what you want as long as your thinking stays the same. You see? A belief, a thought that you have that's an old thought, an old belief, will always take precedent over the new one. Always. You have to get rid of it and start new. You have to clean the slate every day. In the Bible it says, let the dead bury the dead. The past is the dead. Let it go. Let it bury itself. Don't go around digging it up. People love to dig things up. Do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you did that? I came from a family. They could remember anything you did 30 years. You know, you did. Do you remember when you did this, and this? No, I don't. What they do. They remember all. Why do you want to remember that stuff? It's insignificant. Absolutely insignificant. So if you want to manifest, you have to start with a clean mind, a clean slate. You have to get rid of all the negations that are going on inside of you. And you have to get rid of that mind. This whole thing is about renewing your mind. When you renew your mind, you don't bring the past with you. When you renew your mind, then you can be about your Father's business. Do you think God has a memory? No. God does not have a memory. People may think that God has a memory, but God doesn't have a memory. Why does God have no memory?
Lives in the moment.
Lives in the now. God only lives in the now. God doesn't say, oh, I did that yesterday, I think I'll do it again today. Oh, do you remember that didn't work, I don't think I'll do that again. No. When you stay in the now, you have a clean slate. You have a mind that is renewed. Now you can put something into that, you see, into your mind. and you can manifest what you want with it. And we all fall for those things. I fall for it, and I don't kick myself. I say, oh, I see what I'm doing. And I change that from my past. And the mind likes to hold on to all that stuff so it can throw it up one more time so that it can collect things. I don't know if this will help you. When I had a church in Knoxville, Tennessee, I used to have to go to a printer that was across the railroad track. You know, and those towns always had a railroad that went right through the middle of the town. You had to wait. If the train was coming, you had to sit there and wait till it passed, and then you could go across. And I was on the way to the printers, and I hear the engine coming. I hear them, whatever. And I'm saying to myself, oh, I have to sit here now and wait for that train. I have to sit here and wait for that train. Only the engine went by. No train connected to it. This is what we do in our minds. Say we have a train and we think, ah, now that train has all these cars connected to it and I have all this baggage. You know? Just because you hear the engine doesn't mean the train is coming. Just because you hear the engine doesn't mean the train is coming. Don't let your mind do that to you. Don't let it connect all that stuff till you get all completely upset. That's what happened with these two girls or these two women. They allowed any other little slight or hurt from all the years to pow up. They had an engine and they connected cars to it. Now they have a train and they have no idea what to do with it. And they'll never talk to each other again. I know these people. When I say I know these people, I know these two people, but I know this type of person from where I grew up. This is the way it happens, you know. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys, you know. They're not going to give up a grudge. They're not going to give up these things. You have to be able to give all this stuff up and start anew. Each and every moment. The moment, the now, is always new. This moment is where the power is to be able to start again and start new, to start fresh. Don't think of the past. Will serve you nothing. It doesn't serve you to think of the past. Think only of the now, and I'm going on from this point, and then I'm going on from this point, this point, this point. I'm not dragging a train behind me. I'm not going to drag it. Then you can be about your father's business. And you can say, oh, my mind is clear. I can see what's going on here. I forgive those people. I can do this. I can have compassion. I can do these different things. But you can't do these different things when all the past is bubbling up all the time. We want to change that. You can't change the past, people. People always want to, oh, I wish that wouldn't have happened. It happened. Get over it. You know, you can't change it. It happened. That's it. Let it alone. You know, what can you do about it? Nothing. What the only thing you can do ever about the past is learn to think about it differently. You say, forgive the past. Let it go. Let anything go. And then you can be about your father's business. You can take on these godlike qualities. If we don't take on the godlike qualities, the only way that God can come to this plane of action is through us. Is through us. We must be the eyes and the ears, the hands of God. You see? That's why it says, treat and move your feet. You know, you can pray, oh, I want a house, ooh, I want this, I want that. But you have to do something. with these hands that God gave you, with this mind that God gave you. You have to do something about that. So, well, maybe if I put a dollar in the bank, it'll add up to something. You see? Maybe if I try this. You have to do something. But most people think, I'll pray and God will drop it in my lap. God does not drop things in people's laps, people. But God is always for you. And God will help you. But you have to align yourself with that. You have to align yourself with the mind of God. And you align yourself with the mind of God by giving up the past, by forgiveness, by having compassion. These are the qualities that you want to bring out. You see? Then things will be added to you. How many people here want to manifest something? Yes. Of course. But you have to start with a new mind. You have to say to yourself, my mind is completely clear. The past is completely gone. Brand new. Brand new. See? That's how you do it. You make things new. God makes all things new. And God will make your mind new. But you have to know that that is possible. And you have to be able to forgive yourself and forgive all other people and stop thinking like the world out there all the time. That you have to hold on to this, that, or the other thing. You have to hold on to nothing, people. Nothing. Keep your mind clear. Keep it open so that you can manifest. And when you hear your mind say, remember when I was a kid, they treated me badly, or they called me this, that, the other thing, or when I was in college, they did this, or in school, they did that. But none of that makes any difference, people. That was then. This is now. You have to be in the now. And you have to forgive those people. You know, they didn't know what they were doing. They had no idea what they were doing. You have an idea now of what you want. Stop thinking of the past. You see? Make it brand new. Well, I haven't gotten that yet, but that's living in the past. Well, it didn't happen to me yet. You have to say, my mind is clear. I am ready to accept all the good there is in the world. And I know I deserve all that good because my mind is clear. My mind is clear. So many people think that God's going to forgive you. God cannot forgive you. God is not in the forgiving business. Why is God not in the forgiving business? Because God has never condemned anybody. God holds you always in the highest of esteem. God does nothing but love you and love you and love you and shower you with that love. Your own mind punishes you. Your own mind will not forgive you. You have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. And then you can start anew. You see? You can start anew. It's easy. It's simple. And try it this week with the little things or big things, whatever you want, try it this week. I'm telling you that this is a wonderful opportunity to manifest what you want because race mind is slowing down. All the static that's in the universe will slow down this week, and it will continue till Sunday. So you have all week to do these things. All week to do these things. That's what Holy Week is all about, people. That's what this whole thing of Jesus was all about. You see? But we've turned it into all this other hoorah and so forth. We don't need that. This man, Jesus, had a very simple teaching. It was very, very simple. And what was it? Love yourself. Love yourself. That's all he ever talked about. Now people build it into all kinds of other things, but it always boils down to love yourself. When you start to love yourself, then you can give yourself permission to have what you want. When you settle the mind down, when you tell the mind you're not going to let the past dictate the future. You see? And most people, their whole life is dictated by the past. What happened yesterday, and they just keep repeating. What happened yesterday is gone. Has no power over you whatsoever. We've all made mistakes. We will probably continue to make mistakes, you see. We would like to think that we will not. But we probably will, you see. Then you just forgive yourself for that, you see. You forgive yourself for that. And you say, I have a good mind. I have an excellent mind. I know how to use my mind. And I know how to raise up in consciousness so that I can connect with this mind of God or the mind of the universe. I am no longer going to stay down here in this quagmire that everyone else wants to live in and call it life. You see, life is very convincing, isn't it? It's very convincing. We look around, we say, oh, there's more. There's much more, people, to life. You have to be able to raise up in consciousness, and you have to be able to see what's going on. And we do that by what? Tearing away all the filters that we put on ourselves. Tearing away all that mental garbage that we have collected over the years. It doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. Start with a clear mind. Get rid of all that garbage and so forth. Wonderful time of year, I'm telling you. This is that time of renewal. Everything, look around you. Nature's renewing itself right now. The leaves are coming out. The flowers are blooming. Everything. Where there was dormancy. Where there looked like there was no life whatsoever. It sprung to life. So if you have something dormant in you right now, bring it out. Now's the time to do that during this week. It will bloom for you. You can do that. You have to cultivate your mind the same way you cultivate a garden or anything else, people. You have to be able to do that. And you can do that. We can all do that. I don't care if you've never planted a seed or anything in the ground. You can plant a seed in your mind. You see. I love the garden. Casey loves the garden. It's an old saying, you're as close to God in a garden as you ever get. Close to God in a garden. Because you're working with a medium. You're working with the soil. You see, no one knows if it's the energy in the soil or if it's in the seed. No one can distinguish that. you see. And the medium that we're in is the mind of God. And we can plant something in the mind of God. What do we plant in the mind of God? Ideas, thoughts. And we let them grow. We let them grow. We don't know if the power is in the idea or the thought or in the mind of God. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know perfectly well when you plant something in the medium, in the ground, something happens. It grows. It grows. And I'm going to tell you something else, which I always think this is absolutely amazing. It proves so many things, and the one thing that it proves is no such thing as time. The other thing it proves is if you have an idea, it will come to fruition when the conditions are right for it. And you know, in the different tombs in Egypt and so forth, they have found grain, say wheat, that's been there for 2,000 years. Doesn't know it was there for 2,000 years. They plant it and it grows. They plant it and it grows. You see? So all those ideas, all those things you have, think of them as seed. There's power somewhere going on. And when the right conditions, it blooms. I used to start the class, remember, with such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity, and so am I. So now is the time for these ideas to come during this Holy Week, for you to be able to do something for yourself. And I don't care if you think it's mystical or magical. That doesn't bother me in the least. All I can tell you is it works. If you want to say it's magic, please use the word. I'm not afraid of magic. I'm not afraid of any of those things. But you have to realize that something is going on, and something wonderful is going on. When you plant something in the ground, it grows. When you plant something in the mind of God, it grows, people. It grows. How does that happen? I do not know. And you do not know. We do not have to know those things. We just have to know that that's the way it works. That that's the way it works. Someday, maybe we'll have the answers to those questions. Right now, we do not have the answers to those questions. The same way we do not have the answer to the idea of transmutation. When I say transmutation, what do I mean? I mean you eat a carrot and it turns into a fingernail. You eat a carrot, it turns into a fingernail. Or it turns into something else in your body. All the food that you put in your body, you look like any of the food you put in your body? No. It transmutes itself into what? And that's what this whole thing about God is. It transmutes itself. You can transmute what you want. You can transmute. So think of the seeds, think of the carrots, think of all the wonderful things that are going on. And know that this thing called God, or the universe, is willing and ready and able to produce what you want to plant in it. And this is the perfect time to do it during this Holy Week. When race mind slows down, when the yama yama that's out there stops, you will have the clarity to be able to do that. That is what this whole thing's about. And as I said before, it accumulates by the idea of resurrection. What was dead resurrects itself. So if you had ideas and thoughts and so forth that you thought were dead, now is the time. Resurrect all those things. Transmute what you want. This is a wonderful, wonderful time of year. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.